pray for them if you would, please. God will help us tonight. I appreciate the good day the Lord's given us at the church. Been a real good day. And I'll tell you, these don't always come. I've been preaching now since 1980. Started preaching about full time in 1981. That's about 15 years I've been preaching full time. And I'll tell you, I've tried to figure out why you can come to church with a group of people on Sunday morning and that just nothing happening, come Sunday night, nothing happening, and come back a week later with the same group of people and the same preacher, same group of people, and God move like He did this morning. I've tried to figure that out for 15 years, and I've just about give up on trying to figure it out. I don't believe there's any way to figure it out. And I've just about come to this conclusion, though, that our spirit, a whole lot more than God's, has a lot to do with it. We don't want to grieve the Spirit of God, but I believe that when I say our spirit, I mean the frame of mind that we come to church in, I believe has a great deal to do with what God will do for us in the service. If we come wanting something from the Lord and come with a free spirit, I believe that the Holy Ghost will meet with us. If we come cramped and grieved and sarcastic and sourpussed and everything else you can think of, you can't expect God to move. In other words, what I'm saying is He's looking for willing subjects to bless. He's not going to bless you if you don't want it. Amen. In other words, you put on your duck feathers and come to church on Sunday morning. You pour the water of the Word of God on those duck feathers. It just runs off. That's as far as it's going to get. Amen. All right. Psalm chapter number 78 in your Bibles tonight. And when you find that particular scripture, if you'll stand with me while we'll read the scripture together tonight. Psalm number 78. And I want to read, Lord being my helper, the first 8 verses of this chapter in Psalm 78. The psalmist says, "Give ear, O my people, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and His strength, and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that was not a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." Let's bow to pray. My Father, I'm thankful for the good day that we've had, and Lord, even for the good evening service, the good liberty and the good singing. And Lord, I just appreciate Your presence so much. And Lord, I need Your help tonight. I'm sick in body somewhat, and my throat's irritated, and Lord, I need help with that. But Lord, more than that, I need the power of the Holy Ghost to overshadow this poor vessel of clay tonight and use these lips, Lord, to proclaim the wonderful Word of God, the unsearchable riches of Christ. I pray that we'll see folks saved, and Lord, that our hearts will be troubled and burdened tonight for the generation coming behind us. And we'll thank You for doing that. Revive us again. Bless us. Stir us. Heal us. Touch us. Move us as only You can. And we'll be careful to give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you can be seated. Well, I had a telephone call this afternoon, and the man said, "Preacher, lighten up a little bit tonight." He said, "My God," he said, "you just about skint your people to death this morning." Said, "You was a little rough on them today," but said, "Won't you lighten up just a little bit tonight?" Well, we might lighten up somewhat, but I don't believe you can lighten up when it comes to hell. That's right. Amen. People need to be warned about hell and told about hell and need to be told why they're going to hell. Amen. But I want to try, if God will be my helper tonight, to preach to you on this thought: God save the children. God save the children. I thought about, in fact, I titled the message in my Bible, "Don't Hide God from Your Youngins." Don't hide God from your youngins. If you'll notice in the scripture here with me, it said in verse 2, "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come," so on and so forth. And then again, it mentions the word generation down in verse number 8. Now, I want to say to you tonight, by way of introduction, friends, that I am alarmed at the generation that we're raising. I tell you, if there was ever a generation that troubled very old, but I'm going to tell you, there is a spirit in the generation coming that troubles my soul greatly. I've never seen so much rebellion bound up in the heart of a child as what I'm seeing today. I think one of the reasons is that the parents have been robbed of their authority to correct their children. I think another reason is that most parents don't give a rat flip how their children turn out, as long as they can have their liberty and their free spirit and their party time in this world. I think another reason is that preachers have failed to stand in the pulpits and preach the Word of God to people. Amen. I'm talking about line upon line and precept upon precept, and give clear instruction to mommies and daddies what it's going to take to get their children down the aisle and into the family of God. And we failed there. And the reason most men have failed, I'm telling you, it takes some stern rules and regulations, some hard preaching, and some real fervent praying to get a child down the aisle and saved by the grace of Almighty God. Amen. That's right. And that generation, I just read about this afternoon in the book of Proverbs. I believe I've found the generation that we're raising today. The Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 11, he said, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother." Buddy, I tell you, if that's not this little rebellious brat that we see all across our country today, I don't know who Solomon's talking about. He apparently looked down through time under the inspiration of God and saw the generation of 1996. I'm talking about this crowd, that their mommies and daddies will let these little brats mohawk their hair, amen, and put earrings in their ears. That's right, amen, and cuss and carry on and squall and scream and kick their feet and raise all kind of sand wherever they're at and just be overbearing toward their parents. Apparently Solomon looked down through the ages of time and said, "Lord, 1996 will be that generation that curses their father and will not arise and call their mother blessed." I'm going to tell you one of the reasons they won't arise and call mama blessed. Most mamas today ain't nothing but a bunch of hellions. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies.
I tell you, a woman is a virtuous woman that'll stay in the home and raise her children and instruct them in the Bible and pray for them and keep them down at the house of God. They'll have a jewel someday that will stand and look mom in the face and say, blessed be my mama. Thank God for a mama that loved me and prayed for me until I was saved by the grace of God. Amen. We're there. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Son, that first verse is that rebellious crowd. This is that religious crowd. See, we've got a religious crowd today that tip their hat to God on Sunday, can't get them back to church any other time. Amen. And that's right, and they're raising their children with the idea that a one trip a week is about all they need down at the house of God. I'm going to say this to you tonight. If you got children and you send your children to church with somebody else while you're sitting at home, you wicked as hell, bless your heart, need to get saved by the grace of God. Amen. That's right, you ain't worth a flip, but you booger. Sit at home, lay piled up in the bed, let some stinking bus come by and carry your kids off to church. Amen. Let some heifer down in children's church preach to them and try to tell them how to live. I'm telling you, mommies and daddies, a church is a family that prays together, stays together, and the best thing I know is to bring mom and daddy and Johnny and Susie out into the auditorium of the church and let some man of God bust their hide from the Bible. If you ain't got enough grace, if you don't love your youngins enough to bring them to the house of God, bless God, you ought to put them up for adoption and let somebody have them at will. Amen. Hey, man. I'm feeling pretty good. But you know, they're religious. Well, after all, I send $5 a year down there to that church. How much do they want? And I was just down there last Thanksgiving. What's Hall thinking about anyway? I mean, twice a year is enough for anybody to come to church. Thanksgiving, Christmas. Don't want to forget Mother's Day and Easter Sunday. I'd say Mother's Day and Easter Sunday tops the list. Come to church on Sunday morning, let a bunny rabbit lay eggs in a tree on Sunday afternoon. Wicked in hell! Let your hand, God, save the children! Let your youngins hunt Easter eggs and tell them about a bunny and a Santa Claus that nobody had never seen. The ones that you have seen is some old drunk from the Salvation Army, all red nose and red face, drunker blowing his liquor breath in some kid's face. I'm telling you, friend, we've got our virtues all messed up! No, I ain't going to let up tonight. I'm not about to let up. Amen. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation. Oh, how lofty are their eyes. Their eyelids are lifted up. God help us, a woman told me on the phone not long ago, said, I listened to that radio saying, why would a woman listen like this, even listen to WSOF to begin with? She said, she didn't know who she was talking to. She said, I listen to that radio station down there. Said, I listen to that radio station all the time. And she said, that Gary Hall, said, I can't stand him. I thought, well, lop-sop-de-doo and scoob-ooby-doo for you, lady. Hallelujah and Hawaii, Hawaki, Hawaki. Amen. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with that heifer. She's a modern-day liver that's got her hide busted. She puts on her bow tie and trots down to the workforce and drops her kids off down to daycare and lets some pervert raise her kids while she's trying to make another dollar to buy a bigger television set with. I want a big television and a big car and a big Cadillac. I want a new house and I want this and clothes and this and that. But I want to let my kids go to hell in the process. I got to make a lot of money. Why? You're going to be like that stupid woman in California? Let them bury it with you? Man in California, about a year ago, God died. He left and said, told his lawyer, said, I want my will read before I'm buried. This is in the paper, by the way. I want my will read before I'm buried. In his will, he said, I want my money put in the casket and buried with me. His wife said, I will oblige him. He is worth $4 or $5 million. And the day that they buried him, she wrote a check for the full amount, put it in the casket, and they closed the lid and buried him with a check. It made no difference to him. Check, a piece of paper is a piece of paper. And if he wasn't saved, then I say he wasn't. That piece of paper ain't going to profit him in heaven or in hell. It ain't going to profit you either. I'm going to tell you what. What is worth more, having our children in heaven walking on streets of gold with us in eternity, or having leaving money behind that's got to burn and rot in this world? You ain't going to take it with you. I'm telling you, better get a priority straightened out. God save our children. He said, I will not hide them from the generation to come. I will not hide them. Let me ask you something tonight. Are you hiding God from your family? Your children need to see God. He didn't say, tell them about God. He said, show them God. Ain't that right? Ain't that what my text says? I will not hide them from their children. Showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. I will not hide them from my children. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you showed your children the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works? I'm not talking about telling them about it. I'm talking about showing it to them, bless your heart. I was told all my life there's a Santa Claus. But I learned a lot different than that after I got a little older. They couldn't show you there's a Santa Claus. They couldn't show you that it was Daddy nibbling on them cookies at night, drinking that milk. It was Daddy up standing in the door, ho, 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 and in the morning when you come running out looking for somebody that didn't exist, he just went off the front lawn in the sled. Show them. God save our children. Show them. Show them the praises to come. Show them the praises to come. I'm glad that God has given you and I light and instruction in the Word of God that we, by our life and by our influence, can show our children God. Now, I'm fixing to shock some of you, I believe. Now, let's take this in text and we'll try to preach it and go to hell. Look what he says. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. I will not hide the Lord's song. I believe that's what the word praises there is referring to. The Lord's song. I will not hide the Lord's song from my children. Amen. That's right. I want to say to you tonight, there's only three songs that you and I have any right to sing by the grace of God that our children's got any reason at all to hear. And if you're one of that crowd that plugs in Conway and Whalen and Willie and Kiss and Three Dog Night and all that mess, you're wickeder in hell tonight than I said you was, and you can lock it, lump it, hump it, bump it, don't make any difference to me. I'm telling you, if we want to save our kids, we better show us God's music. God's music. Brother Paul said in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, whereas then he says, but be ye filled with the Spirit. verse number 19, singing, wait a minute. I've done fouled up on that one, but I'll catch it. Amen. Just hang right there, and we'll read it right out here in just a minute. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now I'm telling you, when you get beyond psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, honey, you've got come out of the region of God. Amen. You stepped over the line. That's not God's music. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know what a psalm and a hymn and a spiritual song is? Now I'm fixing to tear something wide open, so you just hang with me. According to Strong's, and I'm just rounding all these and putting them together, but a psalm and a hymn and a spiritual song is a sacred ode accompanied with voice, harp, or some other instrument. Amen. A sacred ode. It's not some sleazy barroom, amen, drunken, a barroom mess with Willie and Waylon and the boys sitting there beating on a stinking snare drum and a playing a steel guitar, amen, and a talking about whoremongering and adultery, amen, and it's not rock music talking about murder and killing, but it's God's song. It is a sacred oath that's accompanied by harp, and I believe we got the best harp, bless God, sitting on the pulpit tonight you can find anywhere, and by the way, got a pretty good looking harper that plays it. Amen. A sacred ode. We ain't done yet now, boys. That word, psalm and hymn and spiritual song, means to celebrate the divine worship with music. There's nothing wrong with music. We are to worship God in a divine way, and to celebrate that worship, we're to use psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, I'm getting ready to put the hammer where it belongs. That word means to be a supernatural or a regenerated song. Now I say to you that only saved people can sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Just saved folk. That's all that can save them. That's all that can sing them. It ain't no wonder our children's dying and going to hell. Everybody look right up here at me. Hey, somebody said, well, I tell my children not to listen to country music. I tell my children not to listen to rock music. I tell my children not to listen to contemporary Christian music. I tell my children not to listen to gospel rock music. But when was the last time, bless your rotten heart, that you come down to the church house and showed them the praises of God by singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that they might see daddy and mommy worshiping God in the music at the house of God? We sing around here, some of y'all sit and act like you don't know the words to the music we're singing. And some of you that do ain't got enough life about you, bless God, in your singing. I told you I was going to bust your stinking hide. We ain't done yet. We just getting started on this point. Amen. No wonder our kids is going to hell. We've never taught them to worship. I want to ask you something tonight. You're going to take your boy out in the woods and teach him to deer hunt? Would you take him out there with a BB gun or a .22 rifle and say, son, right here's the best hunting rifle in the world. It's the best weapon that you can find to kill a deer with. And by the way, you don't need to get up in the deer stand. You can sit right here on the ground and you can sing, drink beer, smoke cigarettes, and maybe a deer will come by and you can kill a deer. I'm going to tell you, man, be a fool to give that kind of instruction to a child of God. And I'm going to tell you, it ain't no more foolish for you to come to the church house. Amen. And the Bible, my text says, showing the praises of the Lord, and come to the church house instead of showing your family how to worship God. You sit on the pew and let somebody else show them how to worship God. It'd do every one of y'all in here good to act like some of these women did this morning, running around through this church like a bunch of wild Indians, a singing and a hoopla and a carrying on and a worshiping God in the spirit. That's right. Oh, I'm fixing, boy, Sister Woodard don't know what she done tonight. She showed me something. I said, hallelujah. Fuel for the fire. Now I'm really going to put one on you. That word praises, just get you strong. Study the Bible a little bit. That word praises not only means just to sing and a sacred ode and a sacred hymn and this and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, but that word means to shine. It means to make a show. It means to boast. It means to celebrate. Here's one that is really going to get some of you going to. It means to rave. Just rave. I mean, just get up and rave about God. Just say and just boast and brag and rave and celebrate and sing and show your family the praises of God. Felt like that choir did this morning. Son, when them women come filing out of there, I'm telling you, amen. When Sister Smith headed down that aisle, I said, glory to God. Yes. Son, I got off over here around this speaker and got to cutting me a shine. Next thing I knowed, about seven or eight of them women, my wife was getting off of that piano, and I looked, and seven or eight women come. I'm going to tell you what they're doing. They're shining. Yes. They're shining. Yes. They're raving. They're celebrating. Yes. Hey, somebody said, what on earth we celebrating? I hope you ain't that dumb. The Lord that saved me, died for me, bled for me, went to the grave for me, got up for me, went back to glory for me, and He's coming again for me. I'm celebrating what He done for me, but I'm going to tell you something more than that. That coat wasn't there, me and Miss Hughes would have a long talk down there. Hallelujah to God. I'm going to tell you something else. Not only singing when we shine, rave, and celebrate about what He's done for us, but we are raving and celebrating about what He's done to us. Somebody said, now, ain't no need to getting excited about all that stuff. Why, you just going to live as long as God does? Don't be really excited about that. Oh, you just a sinner going to hell? You're just 365 feet down in a cave, Brother Jeff. Amen. Physically speaking, but spiritually speaking, your feet have nigh well slipped, young man. That's right. Amen. You were sinking deep into my place. I wouldn't doubt if you wasn't plumb up to that bald spot in the top of your head. Amen. All God can see was that bald spot. But in mercy, by suction cups of grace, God reached down on old Brother James. Let me ask you something. Did you feel good when He started lifting you out? Hallelujah. Could you kind of feel the clay, the mire, releasing its grip that had on you, Brother James? Amen. You finally had some freedom and liberty, and you realized for the first time in your life that you're on your way up. On your way up. I've got news for you. I was on the way up. And tonight I'm on my way out. Hallelujah to God. I'm going to rave about it. Now, I'm going to show you something we ought to be ashamed of. We ought to be ashamed. Have you showed your kids the praises of the Lord? But you would have known it. Don't have no idea. She brought me this in tonight. Get a good look at that now. Y'all get a good look at that. You see that fella right there? He's an egg-sucking, Satanizing, Satan worshiper. You see that fella right there next to him on that page? He's a public school teacher, 8th and 9th grade, Henderson, County, Kentucky, and he's been a KISS celebrity since 1976. He's got his house, his home filled up with their albums, checks, contracts, all kind of junk from there. He's even got a KISS mess set up on internet that he can communicate with all other KISS freaks all around the world. Amen. I wouldn't call it out. It's written here what you can get in on the internet to get in touch with this egg sucking, Satan worshiping. Amen. I'm not being unkind. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that men like that will teach their children about KISS and about sex and about adultery and about Satan and Satan worship. And we'll sit on the church pew of an independent Baptist church and let our kids die and go to hell and never tell them about worshiping God. God help us. He's got more zeal for a stinking hellion that paints his face out. Amen. And sounds off booms and thunders on the platform. Amen. And eats live rats and live mice and drinks blood on the platform. He's got more grit about him than we got about God. God help us, buddy. How about you? You showed your children the praises of the Lord. You showed them the Lord's songs. By the way, why are they listening to at Grandpa and Grandma's house? Why are they listening to down at their cousin's house? What do they listen to when they go over to their friend's house? Yeah. I'm telling you, my kids, I'm keeping a rein. Well, I can't. If I had them, I'd still keep a rein on them. And they're all married, I'm still keeping a rein on them. Amen. Well, Grandma's pretty good. Yeah, and Grandma sits there with that television on, and if Kiss comes on, or if Three Dog Night comes on, or Willie and Waylon and the Boys comes on, or some pervert comes on, or some murder scene, hey, it makes no difference to Grandma. Right. Son, but when it infiltrates the mind of your child, it's there. God save our children! He made it a commandment and a statute and a testimony. Hey, and we must show them the praises of the Lord. Is that right? Y'all get a good look at that man. Y'all get a good look at that man's face. Get a good look at that boy. Get a good look at both of them. Huh? Get a good look at him, kids. That's a mess. Making history. Making me sick. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it because God laid it on my heart. If it makes you mad, you can get glad. Don't make any difference to me. But Rachel's sitting here tonight with them three kids of hers, and that man of hers has got rights to them children. But I'm telling you right now, if I heard that egg sucker was letting them kids listen to that crap and watch that crap, I'd go to court and put an end to it, bless God or die crying. You better fight for your youngins. I'm telling you, the world, the devil, is going to drag them into hell if you don't put up a fight for your family. Somebody said, you mad? Yeah, mad at the devil and mad at sin. See the faces of these little kids every day. And I call their names and yours too, every day. Every day. And I'm going to tell you something, buddy. If they go to hell or get wrapped up in that mess, it ain't going to be because Brother Hall ain't done his best to keep them out of it. And I might as well go ahead and say this, and I'm not being critical. I'm not being a smart aleck. But I saw Sam and his bride this week, and they told me fair and square they'd be in the house of God on today. And I asked Sam, I said, you going to throw it all down the drain? Just throw it all? I mean, all the years, just throw it all? No, preacher. I'm going to be in the house of God. And I say this lovingly. Sam married a wife. That's what Sam's problem is tonight. Sam married a wife. That's as rebellious as hell. I'm telling you, amen. If you get mad at me over that, you get glad again about that. Oh, God, help us. I'm going to tell you what I'd do, son. If I was married to a woman, wouldn't come to church, she'd come one way or the other. She'd either come by the nap of the neck and the seat of the pants, bless God. Amen. Or she'd come peaceably. But as for me and my house, we go into church, and mamas are going, whether or no, mamas are going, if I could kick her in her butt and drag her down to the church where she can hear preaching, mamas are going. Somebody said, you're rough. It's time preachers got rough. Mercy, where do you think that little fella would be 35, 40, 50, 60 years from now if God hadn't got a hold of Steve and Tammy's heart? Huh? What chance you think that baby would have had? Oh, Brother James, stand up and let everybody come by and examine the earring prints in his ears. Hey, man, I'm headed right down the road with that outfit and that mess. I'm talking about God's music, God's singing, God's song. I'm talking about songs, hymns, spiritual songs. Hey, and showing it to your kids. Amen. Buddy, I've always told it like it is to our members, and I'm going to keep on telling it like it is. There ain't nobody going to get right soft open and patting them on the back, telling them how good they are and everything will be all right 75 years from now. I'm telling you, open rebuke's better than secret love. And bless your heart, as long as God gives me breath, I'm going to keep on preaching against sin and rebellion in the lives of people. Especially if they got their membership in this church. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I didn't let my own family slide, and I ain't letting nobody else slide. Yes, sir. I marked two of my kids right there and made them get right with God standing right here. And I'm going to tell you something, buddy. Yours ain't a quip, not one quip better than mine. Oh, somebody said they're the preacher's kids. I don't care. Bless God, they are. They got right, and yours needs to get right. Amen, Brother Hall. Hallelujah to God. Amen. That mess, that's a mess. That's a mess. I'd like to pull his stinking tongue out. Well, I wouldn't want to kill him. I'd just like to pull his tongue out so he couldn't poison the minds of no more of the kids. Hear that? And I didn't even know that. KISS stands for Knights in Satan's Service. Did it shock you if you knew how many folks that you rub shoulders with every day listen to that mess on a regular basis? It's shown rebellion. I'm telling you, it's no wonder our generation is rebellious. That stinking hellish music has so rebellion in their hearts toward God. I'm going to say something. You'll either show the Lord's praises to your kids or the devil will show his. Whichever one you want, buddy. I like what old Brother Ricky said this morning. Stood up here, cried in Sunday school. He said, I don't know how everybody else is going, but he said, it's for me and my family. We're going on with God. We're going on with God. We're going on with God. Amen. Shine. Make a show. Boast. Celebrate. Rave. Now, I'll get to the points. I haven't even got to the points on that thought yet. Can I say that psalms and hymns and spiritual songs are the praises of the Lord, whichever one you want to use, must first of all be spiritual. And to be spiritual, they have got to ascend from a spiritual heart. They have got to come out of a regenerated heart. It's no wonder our choir's doing better. About 90% of them got saved in the last 6-7 months. Makes a difference when somebody's saved. Spiritual, regenerate. Spiritual song. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And son, I'm telling you, Sandy Patty is not spiritual. The Lionel Green is not spiritual. That boy that broke off from his mommy and daddy, what's their names? Kevin Spencer's not spiritual. No! Somebody said, I don't like that. Hey, we ain't a playing that mess on WSOS. By the way, we ain't a playing contemporary gospel rock on WSOS. We have to play it. We'll shut it down before we'll play that mess. That's right. Spiritual. I'm going to fight it. I'm going to fight the devil in that station until there ain't an ounce of strength left in my body to fight the egg sucker. I'm going to bite him, claw him, scratch him and gum him, kick him. I'm sick of the devil. Why don't you know you ain't going to win? Why don't you go and join that other crowd? If that's your disposition, if that's your attitude and spirit, you might as well go on and join them. Spiritual song. I'm going to tell you, when they play that mess in there, and that other mess too, that's Karen Peckerhead and the Clear Credence Revival or whatever the mess is. Oak Ridge Boys. God. Boy, when you get tied up in a big way. I guarantee you one thing, you've got the point, ain't you? You don't have to stand, you don't have to scratch your head and you leave here and say, I wonder what the preacher is talking about tonight. I made her pretty plain. Spiritual. I want to say number two, it ought to be scriptural. This mess climbing Jacob's ladder. And I'm climbing up the ladder that you're climbing on, or holding up the ladder that you're climbing on. And all that mess. God help us. Son, I'm telling you, scriptural music comes from the Bible. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Amen. How great thou art. Woo! Till the storm passes by. Amen. I like some of that old music. I'll tell you what, Brother Bell picked up a set of tapes from down at the Inspirations the other night and give us a set of tapes on the Pioneer Days or something like that. All the old 60s music. The Inspirations. I say amen, buddy. That's right. Some of them good old songs. That's some of that good old music. Amen. All this newfangled stuff. I'm going to tell you what they're doing. They're looking for a beat. I said it had to be scriptural and spiritual. People today's looking for a beat, something they can tap their toe to, and something that satisfies their flesh, that appeals to their flesh, but it never satisfies the soul. That brings me to my third point. Not only spiritual and scriptural, but it must be soul stirring. I can hear some of that mess and just make me sick. I'm talking about sick. Make me puke. Say some of it in there, boys. When Ernest Frio gets singing some of them old songs, son, my old heart gets to stirring. What about just inside the eastern gate? What about beyond the gate, old Becky? Mrs. Is it Becky McGaha? Bonnie McGaha sings that beyond the gate. Woo! What about Zion's Hill? Someday beyond the reach of mortal kin. Someday God only knows. Just where or when the wheels of mortal life shall all stand still. Woo! And I shall go to dwell on Zion's Hill. Hallelujah to God. I'm going to tell you what that does. That stirs my soul. Amen. That blesses my heart. That moves my spirit to God. That brings me in contact with the Holy Ghost and lets me worship. Soul stirring. Now I want to say to you that it should be, if it's psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, it's not only scriptural and spiritual and soul stirring, but it's satisfying. I'm going to tell you, you get a good drink of what I got a drink of this morning. You won't have to go out Sunday afternoon and look for something else to get you a drink out of it. I like that new wine. See, I'm going to tell you why some of y'all never get happy. Now, please stay with me a minute. Let me ask you something. When the choir was mealy-mouthing, when the choir get up there and just stand there and mealy-mouth, did you ever see any of them get happy like they did today? Not one time, buddy. Oh, but there's something about raising and celebrating. I'd hate to thank Garth Brooks singing in such a way that they were stirred and satisfied when they was able to rear back and get a hold of God and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Stirred them up. And I'm going to tell you the reason some of y'all can't. You sit out there with your teeth in your mouth and act like you've got dentures that are loose, and if you open your mouth, they fall out on the floor.
Yep.
Thunder, well, amazing grace, if we could glorious love. Folks, let her out. I'm going to tell you what you need to do on Saturday night. Get full of Him. Yeah. Come on Sunday morning and let Him out.
Yeah.
And show your children the praises of God.
Yeah.
They're going to go to hell if you don't, I'll tell you that. Now the second thing, not only show them the praises of the Lord, and I'm just about done, and His strength. Show them His strength. That word strength is to be stout, to be mighty, to prevail. Show them. Don't only tell them, show them in your life that you believe that on the cross Christ hath prevailed. I'm glad that He's bruised the head of the serpent and He's prevailed on Mount Calvary and won the battle for you and I. I want my youngest to know that Preacher Hall believes that the victory's done been won. Not holding out, hanging on, enduring, and hoping so. Buddy, it's won, Brother Ray. It's won. He hath prevailed on the cross. Show that, hey, your kids don't have a prayer if they don't know that.
Amen.
Somebody said, Brother Hall, why? I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I can take you down where the Bible said in our text that they might set their hope in God.
Amen.
And they might not be like their fathers. A stubborn and a rebellious generation whose heart was not right with God and whose spirit was not steadfast. I never seen a wish-washier crowd than what Israel was. There's one thing I can't stand, that somebody's just wish-washy. Be real. Be steadfast. Let your kids know that what Christ done on the cross is sufficient to carry you to glory, and you've got confidence, bless God, that that's exactly what it's going to do.
Amen.
You half-heartedly do this thing, you know what your kids are going to say? Well, you remember what Mom and Daddy told us about Santa Claus and what he turned out to be.
Yes, amen.
This Jesus stuff is about the same thing. That's what they're going to grow up believing. Prevailed on the cross.
Amen.
But I want old rag man right here to know that Jesus not only prevailed on the cross, but He prevailed in the cemetery.
Yes.
On that third and glorious day, God came and rolled the stone away. Woo! Amen. I'm going to say there have been some earth-shaking events happening in our world, but the greatest earth-shaking event that ever happened, the greatest earthquake ever happened when the Son of God came out of the grave. He swallowed up death in victory. Stood up, put on life, rolled the stone away, walked out and spit the devil's face and said, I've won life for all that'll come unto God by me. You better tell your children that. Brother Steve, he has prevailed in his coming. There's a sharp two-edged sword that goes out of his mouth. And with it he'll smite the nations, Revelation 19, and rule them with a rod of iron. Now this last point, we're going to the house. This last one may very well be the best one, but I'll probably spend less time on it than anybody. Notice in verse 4 what he says. And his wonderful works that he hath done. Now I labeled these three things there, the Lord's song, the Lord's strength, and the Lord's sovereign act. The wonderful things that he hath done. Now, those wonderful works, they're literally things that are too hard to be done by anybody else. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Here's the three points that I wrote down on that. Things that are too hard for everybody else, but they're not too hard for the Lord. Number one, creation. And I'm not talking about creating the world. Buddy, I'm talking about, because we're talking about showing the praises of the Lord and showing these things to our children. I'm talking about that new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. I'm going to tell you what, that's something nobody else can do. I want my children to look at me and say, my God, what a difference. Well, what a difference he makes. Woo!
Yeah.
Y'all ain't mad at me, are you?
Praise.
Some of y'all, I believe, mad.
Praise.
I believe they will. If they don't, they can keep it. Don't make a bit of difference to me. I'm going to go home and take a baby aspirin and go to bed. Hey, I want my children to know, Miss Sharon, what God done in my life.
Amen.
I won't tell y'all this, and I wouldn't tell this, and I don't want you to think I'm bragging about sin. But little old Jordan Ashley come up to me this morning. She said, Poppy, said, Deucey told us a story last night. Said, she told us a story about a drunk. Said the man was a terrible drunk. And said he married a girl that was born in a jailhouse in Hazard, Kentucky. He said, that man, Poppy, said, Deucey said, that man went around all the time beating up on his wife and drinking beer and getting drunk. He said, Poppy, why did that man do that, Poppy? I said, boy, I'm glad. Thank God.
Amen.
Amen. That I can tell him.
Right.
that there's one who's able to grab the drought. You know what kind of smacks my wife gets today? Good old smacks. Now I'm going to tell you something. I want my kids to know that it had never been that way without the help of God. His wonderful works in creation. His wonderful works in consecration. I'm telling you that only God has the power to take a crooked stick and make it draw a perfectly straight line. Here's what we are. Lame on both feet. That's right. Lame on both feet. But He can make us walk uprightly. Amen. Deaf in both ears, but He can make us hear the Word of God.
Yes.
Eyes that are blind, but He can cause them to see and behold wondrous things out of His law.
Yes.
Oh, yes. God can take the unholy and make it holy. That's right. He can take the wicked and justify
it.
He can take the sinner and make him a saint.
Yes.
Out of the mire into the choir.
Yes.
Woo! I could say for them fishermen, take them off of the bank and into the tank. Wonderful works. Wonderful works. Creation, consecration. But I'm going to tell you the greatest, one most wonderful work they'll ever do is in consummation. When we stand faultless, blameless, unreprovable, if you please, perfect. Presence of God. I marvel how God can take an old black artist sinner, an old doper, drunkards, harlots, cussers, moviegoers and dancers, carousers and rebel rousers, outcasts. And make them saints. Perfect us. What about you? You showing the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful work that He's done for your children, that they might set their hope in God and their spirit not be steadfast in the Lord? Let's stand together.